This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Now, the other thing is that orcs are typically seen as being evil, like full-blood orcs, right? And there was even a controversy like a year ago of like, you know, like, I don't remember what the hashtag was, but it was basically a hashtag not all orcs kind of idea. And I agree, like, when you have something that can be a playable race, don't pigeonhole them into something, right? We talked about this with drow and other things too. But they actually, in the player's handbook, give a really interesting reason why that happens.
It's,
And they haven't done that with anything else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, they point to, they don't just say typically they're this. They actually point to there is something about their heritage that they can't escape from. It's almost like that same kind of compatibility with like tieflings, where they can't escape their demon past. It's like it's always there haunting them to an extent. But with this one, it's still kind of like greater being, but it's their god.
Right.
So, essentially, that's always kind of egging them on.
Yeah, exactly. So Grummish is, that's how I've always pronounced it. I'm sure someone else is going to be like, it's Grummish. Fine, great, no problem. But
how would you say it in orc? Because orc's a very guttural language.
You're baiting me.
I am.
Grummish. I don't know.
Scottish?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
great. Yeah, Scots. Let's go with Scots. Hey, actually, you know what? That's actually not bad for a like a loose template of like, well, how do you, you know, match what we've read in the lore to real world things. We talked about Dragonborn and maybe some of the Asian cultures, last name first, about honor being the best, right? Some of those elements. Maybe Scottish isn't a bad comparison here because they are very boisterous. I mean, these are the stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. But they're very boisterous with their heart on the sleeve. They love to fight and laugh in equal measure. And they're known for being just awesome in combat and terrifying on the battlefield, you know, wearing the kilts and with the bagpipes, the whole nine yards, right? So maybe that's not too far off. I like that. And the guttural thing, too. But so the mark of Grummish. So Grummish is the god of all of orcs.
And they have a defined origin too, which is also something unique about orcs, is that typically there's not a defined where they came from. There's like nods to, it could have been this, maybe they came from here.
Yeah.
But this one is like, nope, this guy made him. End of story.
Right. And it doesn't matter if you worship him or not, he still lays claim to you if you're a orc or a half orc. And so what they say in the player's handbook, which is just wonderful to have it laid out like this, is that even if you try to live a civilized life or to temper some of that, the passion that you feel, Grummish is always, like you said, gunning for you. Like, always kind of like, no, come on, give in to our rage.
Yeah, it reminded me when I read it, it instantly reminded me of Green Goblin in the Spider-Man movies, where it's just like he, you know, he's trying to do his thing, but the Green Goblin is keeps trying to egg him on to get him to go there. I'm like, that's what it seems like, is someone that just can't get this like voice out of their head trying to push them into doing something that maybe is a little questionable.
Exactly. And that's what's really cool, because we read like with the drow that they may get fed up with the drow culture and Lolth and all the evil things that happen down there in the Underdark and leave, and Lolth is like, well, forget you, you know. But Grummish is like, no, you're still mine. I have the receipt, you know. And that's really, really interesting. And so it's not necessarily always their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a constant battle against this direct and overt divine influence that's pushing them to be a way that this god, who is demonstrably evil, wants things to go. Which makes for the great foundation of a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so good. And I think there's a lot of people who, in a lesser way, in real life, because we always bring ourselves into our characters, we can say we don't faults. It happens when you're trying not to do it, and then later, like 10 sessions in, you're like, oh crap,
I did it again.
Yeah, there it is.
This is me again.
Yeah, and there's my dad, and there's my mom, and there's me. Yeah. Is, you know, a lot of people grew up in different religious traditions and spend the rest of their lives basically trying to get away from them if they were really terrible or oppressive or legalistic. And so there is a lot of fodder that I think is pretty common to a lot of people to play into this aspect from the half-orcs, which I think is really, really awesome. And like you, you know, digging into, like, what if I made a character that was half-orc? And getting to explore that, I think there's just a lot there in the lore that you could use that you'll miss if you just jump straight to the stat blocks.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, it's interesting, too, because I think, if I remember right when I was reading, half-orcs tend to gravitate more towards living in the human populations yes. instead of the orc populations. Not so much because they're, like, excommunicated from mm-hmm. one or the other, the same way that maybe you might have with, like, an elf-human situation. But what's interesting is if you have this half-orc that's living among humans, they don't hear these voices.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They have these same urges, yeah.
What a strange way to be brought up with nobody else that can hear this voice, especially if maybe you weren't brought up in orc culture and you've never been told about Grummish, uh-huh. but you've got this like voice almost thing in the back of your head, but no one else can hear it. What would that do for your character, for your sanity, for your thought processes, for your behaviors, your actions? Like, everything just opens up in a really interesting way.
I love the scene that just popped in my head of like the young half-orc going to the cleric and be like, hey, I hear voices. And they're like, yeah, me too. Yeah, but I'm...
No, you don't understand.
I'm a barbarian, though, not a cleric. So what's up with that? Oh, you so Grummish? Who is that? You know, and getting kind of like the divine lore dump. Like, I think it's a fun scene. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just... The culture there, I think, or the history there is so rich that I think that's really what informs the coolest part of the character. You're going to get some really awesome abilities, which we'll go over in a bit, but that's the part that like has the most meat to it.
Yeah, it really is. I think that might do it for the lore, actually. I don't know if there's anything else I was looking at that I kind of pinged my interest.
Oh, the other thing that I do remember is that they tend to select a name
yes.
that makes the most sense in the culture they're living in. So if they're right. living in an orc culture, they're going to adopt a name that is orcish primarily. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they're living amongst humans, they're probably going to pick a name that makes more sense in a human environment. So, and I didn't really pick up on it as the whole like, oh, I want to just blend in. It was more of, I don't know if it's like a respect thing or like this is the environment that I'm in. I don't know
yeah,
how you
would... I think it's just being a product of the environment you're raised, right? You know, it's just... I don't think it's more complicated than that. I think they just mimic the society that they're born and raised in, like we all do, and just roll with that.
It'll be interesting, too, in a role play, like, your party only knows them by their human name, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden you encounter a bunch of orcs, and they introduce themselves as something completely different.
Yeah.
And the party's like, wait, who? Mm-hmm. That's not who you are, or some yeah. kind of weird, interesting dynamic there.
It's like high school Spanish class where you have to pick a Spanish name.
If yes.
Especially if your name doesn't work in Spanish, like Jason. J's are weird. In French, too, actually. So, yeah.
Well, you're just weird, so it fits.
Well, yeah, I'm okay mm-hmm. with it. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's really interesting that it really is, there's a duality here, to kind of put a pin in it, is there's a duality of being adaptable to the situation and the environment they're grown up in, but yet there's also this inner life that is somewhat immutable and beyond their choice or control, whether it's the passion or the influence of Grummish kind of pushing their own will on things. And so there's change, but then there's also these inner things that are really hard to change. And so it makes for some really complex characters.
Thanks for equipping the compendium. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already, since new episodes are published every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursdays if you guys are a patron on our Patreon account. If you enjoy listening each week, a great way to help support the show outside of contributing to Patreon is just by sharing a link to this episode with a friend. We hope to see you back in a few days for our next episode, where we will be continuing our discussion, delving further into the wonderful world of D&D.